Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey, now.
Good morning to all you listeners out there. This is Peter Rowe, and I'm your host this morning for another episode of Love Your Human Design, brought to you by loveyourhumandesign.com. And I'd like to welcome all you out there. We've got a great show for you today. We're continuing in our profile series, and we're going to be talking about the 6-2 profile, the role model hermit, stepping into the light or not. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, Reverend Rick. Reverend, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Peter. Pleasure to be here.
How is it down there in New Jersey? We got some sunshine up here in New England.
I'm actually a little further south. I'm in Maryland.
Baltimore, right? Yep.
Just south of Baltimore, yep, between Washington, D.C. and Annapolis. And we're having bright, sunshiny skies here today, which is absolutely wonderful because yesterday was rainy and tomorrow's supposed to be rainy again. So I'm enjoying the sunshine today.
Well, that's good. That's good. I don't know why I've got that New Jersey thing. I've got that stuck in my open head, I guess. And I just something. I think the first time you came up, you picked up somebody in New Jersey, and it just that stuck.
Right.
I went
to Evelyn, and then Evelyn lives in New Jersey, and we went from her place straight up to your place.
Well, I'll get that straight one of these days. But anyway, we're talking about the 6-2 profile today, the role model hermit. And again, for those of you that are new to human design, the profile is really about your personality. If you're an actor on a stage, it's the way you're going to play that role. You're cast in a part, and you were cast in a part in this lifetime. And the profile is really going to put some flavoring. It's really going to put the zip to the personality, and really kind of, I like flavor because it talks about all of your expression is going to be flavored by this profile that we talk about. The profile comes from the lines in your lead gates of the sun and the earth, and Ricardo, can you take us through the lines so that people can get a sense of what that means?
Sure. The lines... Each gate in the system has a further breakdown. So the gate may be the kind of expression that gets thrown out there for that center, but the lines for each gate further break it down into a much more specific manifestation of that type of expression. And like Peter, as you said, it's a flavoring of that kind of food, if you will. And the first three lines, the 1, 2, and 3, every line has a keynote associated with it. But you can actually break it down further into the first three lines as being more of an internal look or more of an internal perspective, a personal perspective, if you will. What I like to refer to as the inner environment. So lines 1, 2, and 3 are all about the self and your relationship to yourself, one being much more investigative and foundational, two being, we'll be talking about that today, two being a hermit type, which is more being in seclusion and taking the time to really think about the information that you have, the knowledge that you have, the foundation that you've built, and how you can actually share that information with others without necessarily going out to look for others. And then number three is the one we call that experimental, or I like to use experiential, because it's all about figuring out how you can move from that foundational space as the hermit and share that information with others, but expand on what your knowledge is. And in expanding that knowledge, you basically engage in life, engage in opportunities, engage in experiences that may or may not turn out the way you expect. Moving from that experiential nature of the and how it relates to the self, from the third line to the fourth line. Now in the fourth line, we start looking at transpersonal, your outer environment, your relationships to others. And so fourth line people, or fourth line energy, is very social in nature. It's very connected. You know, this is an energy that connects well with others, and it seeks out opportunities through others. And so there's a much more outward focus taking place here. The fifth line is known as the heretic. Oh, I'm sorry, the fourth line is the opportunist. And the reason it's called that is because the opportunities in life really come through the connections to others. The fifth line is more, it's known as the heretic. But it's also representative. It's not just being different. It's not just being viewed in one way or another and then others realizing that that's not the whole picture of you. It's also an opportunity to really show the outside world what the mature expression of a particular type of energy really is. And the last one, the sixth line, the role model, we'll be talking more about that today too. That's really the relationship to the outer world where you take in all of your accumulated knowledge, experience, and understanding, and you share that with others if it's appropriate for you. And as I said, that one's known as the role model, and we'll be talking more about that one.
Yes, we will. We will be talking about the role model. And for those of you that are, if you have your chart, then what we're talking about is the profile, which is in the keynotes at the bottom. But also, you may want to look on loveyourhumandesign.com. On the right-hand side, click on Peter's blogs. And then click on the article, Profile 6-2 Role Model Hermit, Stepping into the Light or Not. And in there, you will find a chart, and I've circled the where the lines are represented in the top two gates. So you can see here for Dijon that he has gate 60 in the sun, and in line 6, and gate 56 in the earth, line 6, and then on the other side he has gate 28, line 2, and gate 27 in the earth, line 2. So that's where those profile lines are coming from in your chart. It's coming from the sun and the earth, and as I always say, what more two important influences do we have as humans than the sun and the earth in terms of planetary influences? So,
I was just going to add, Peter, that not only that, just in terms of planetary influences, but in energetic influence, the sun by itself represents 70% of the energy that gets activated in our charts. And so, yeah, that's a very, very important thing to look at.
It is, in one of the where quantum physics comes into human design. Or at least one of the areas that it comes in, is through the neutrinos. And you can actually look this up on Wikipedia. If you look up neutrinos, you'll find a trivial fact, I guess, or not so trivial fact, that 50 trillion neutrinos pass through our bodies per second. Now, these are tiny, tiny, tiny. They actually pass through our atoms. They're so small. But 50 trillion, I mean, just try to get your head around that. That's a major influence that scientists actually really don't know what the effect is. And really, I think what human design is trying to explain, at least part of the effect of those neutrinos.
It's the force, Luke.
It is the force. It is the force. So we're going to use the force today, and we're going to talk about the 6-2 profile, the role model hermit. And, you know, this is an interesting profile. I have a couple of friends that are 6-2s. And, when I was writing the blog post yesterday, it really made me think about this profile. And I think that this profile has a bit of a dilemma because ultimately, the ultimate expression when they go through the life stages of the sixth line, is that it's a role model, but the role model is not a pushy role model. The role model is going to come out essentially when that person deems that it's worthy to come out, and it's worthy not only for the individual that they're helping, but for themselves. And so you couple that energy, you know, that this sort of, in a way, shy, or, you know, wise man on the hill, or wise woman on the hill energy, with the second line, which tends to want alone time, and tends to want to be a hermit. And so you have kind of a tricky balance here. How can you be a role model and, you know, as we imagine, role models are kind of figureheads. They're out front. They're, in a way being projectors, guiding and leading, either by example or with information. And in the background, you have this hermit that doesn't totally want to be out there. There's a social aspect of that second line, but there's also the need to have alone time. Ricardo, your take on that?
I think you hit it right there. It's an interesting dilemma, but it actually plays out rather well. You know, I don't want people to think that, you know, if they've got a 6-2 profile, they're doomed to this unresolvable dilemma. It actually really does play out rather well in what you just said. The role model is a role model for others because of the accumulated knowledge that they develop, but it's always shared pretty much in response. Almost, you know, like you said, they're kind of like a projector in that they have all that accumulated wisdom, but they're also sort of like a generator in that it takes somebody coming to them to pull them out to let them know, okay, you have something of value to share. Will you share it with us? And for the role model, that's the hermit getting called out. But then it's also an aspect of, well, now I'm responding to this. Is this worth it to me? Does this have an impact for me that is going to, you know, help me in some way, shape, or form? You know, is it beneficial to me? Is it something that I really need to get involved in? And so if the answer to that is yes, then of course they're going to share their wisdom just like you would expect a role model. But because there is that element of, is it worth it to me? Is it worth something for, you know, is it something that I really want to get involved in? Because of that, there's also that background energy of the hermit saying, maybe not this time. Thanks for the offer, but I think I'll pass. So it does resolve itself rather well if somebody can actually allow themselves to be in that energetic space and honor that kind of energy, in which case it won't be a confusing dilemma at all. It'll just be something that plays out naturally, normally, and quite easily, as a matter of fact.
And that's a great counter. Thank you for adding that. I did not want to imply that it's not a resolvable dilemma, and you did that very well. Because it's not, and you know, it's just an interesting quandary. And I think people that know 6-2s, especially when they get past 50 into their role model stage, may sometimes question why they're not involved in as much as they might be. And I think it's because, you know, it's got to be worth it to them. It's got to be the right opportunity. And if they're living their design, it's got to be something that sinks to their heart, and it's got to be beneficial for both the person they're helping and for themselves.
And to go one step further, it's got to be something that they can enter into properly in accordance with their own particular type and strategy.
Absolutely, type and strategy. So let's back up a little bit. We sort of plowed on into analyzing the 6-2, let's talk about what they're made of. And obviously the first is the 6, it's the role model. And the 6th line is really the only line in human design that goes through life stages. And the life stages are 3, from birth to about 28, the Saturn return. The second stage is from 28 to around 50 or 51 when the Chiron return comes in. And then the third stage is after 50 or 51. The stages have names of sorts. The first stage, I guess, doesn't really have a formal name, but you could call it the experimental or the experiential phase, because the sixth line is going to act like a third line. And the second stage is called going up on the roof from 28 to 50, 51. And then the third stage is coming off the roof and stepping into that role model stage. So if we look at the first 28 years, the sixth line is going to act like the third line that Ricardo described earlier. And the third line is experimental. It's inwardly focused. It's looking at learning about life by having experiences, doing experiments, and then internalizing those. How did that affect me? I pushed that person's buttons and they yelled at me. So how did that affect me? It's not looking at how did I affect them. You know, they got all angry, but that's not what at that point the sixth line's looking at. The sixth line's looking at that person yelled at me and I felt sad or I felt hurt. So now I've learned something about pushing people's buttons. And then at around 28, the person goes up on the roof. And so same scenario, the person up on the roof, they're not going to probably push anybody's buttons. They're going to watch somebody like Ricardo push somebody's buttons. And Ricardo gets yelled at. And now they're looking outward, so they actually can take in more of that experience, because now, since they have this outwardly focus, which is more of what their ultimate design is designed for, they can see not only that Ricardo gets hurt by the person yelling, but they can see that the other person got really angry. And so this works better for the sixth line, because they can take in more wisdom about that whole interaction. And then after observing all that, now they can bring it back to them for their own wisdom. Okay, so if I push somebody's buttons, they're probably going to get angry, and I'm going to feel hurt. So now they've, from this perspective on the roof, they've gained more wisdom about the whole situation and then been able to bring it back to them, so that ultimately at around 50 or 51, when they step off the roof, they might observe a child or the grandchild, or they might be involved in working with youth and be able, when appropriate, to pass on that information. You know, well, if you push somebody's buttons, you're going to get hurt. You're going to feel hurt, and they're going to get angry. So that's the sixth line. And going back to that middle stage, when they're on the roof, these people may seem a bit aloof because they really go into more of an observation. They may seem disengaged. Our teacher, Karen Curry, describes it as they may feel somewhat numb or wrapped up in cotton, I think was one of the expressions that was said. I don't know. I have a sixth line. Mine's a 4-6. I don't know that I would go with that numbness, but I would say there is some aloofness. There is some pulling back from being socially engaged, from being engaged with other people. There's definitely this twist of perspective from it being all about me or inwardly focused to really more of an observational, you know, what's happening out there in the world or what's happening with those other people. And I'm just about to come off the roof, so I can't really speak to what that's like yet, but give me a couple of years.
And at that point, we'll all be looking forward to your knowledge.
Yeah. Ricardo, what would you like to add to that?
Nothing. I think that was actually very, very well done. I think you pretty much covered all the aspects of the sixth line there.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the inspiration. I was thinking back to one of our prior shows, and you were talking about either a friend or family member that was always pushing buttons, and that popped into my head.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, the funny thing about that, I was talking about my partner and the fact that he had that gate of provocation active in his chart. The funny thing about that is I have that gate active in my chart, too. But his was conscious. Mine was unconscious. You can imagine the exchanges that went through with that.
So did yours have a slight delay, or you just didn't notice that you were poking him back?
I think mine would have probably been considered something like a passive-aggressive provocation.
Yeah. Setting him up.
Yeah, pretty much. But we quickly got past all that.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about the sixth line. Let's jump into the second line. And Ricardo, can you take us through how that's going to play out here?
Sure. And I got to say, I love your write-up here, the stepping into the light or not, because it truly does encompass the duality that's inherent in all aspects of human design. But even more so here, like you said, the energy of the role model, you know, once you build up all that world of knowledge, all that world of wisdom, then sharing it with others, you know, the sixth line is the top of the outward energy, the outward focus type of energy. And so there's this underlying drive to share that information. If it's appropriate and if it's done in the right way and all that. But then underneath all of that, there's also the energy of the hermit, the energy that says, to quote my partner, leave me alone, but don't leave me. You know, I don't necessarily want to get involved, but I want you to notice me. And so that second line energy is always there reaching out to others and letting them know, hey, I'm here. You know, it's like the dust particle in Horton Hears a Who. You know, we're here. But that's not necessarily a conscious action on the line of on the part of the individual. It's more an energy that reaches out to people and lets them know energetically that, hey, I have this knowledge, I have this information, I have this background, you know, I have this energy that you can benefit from. You need to come and reach out to me in order for me to share that with you. And like I said, it's not a conscious thing on the part of the individual. They're not trying to withhold information from anyone. They just are not actively going out and seeking people to share it with. And really, in our society these days, that would be the wrong kind of approach to take with people anyway, because you just kind of get strange looks from people and they say, well, who invited you? You know? I don't care what kind of energy you got. If I haven't asked you for it, why are you bothering me with it?
So I'd mentioned this before, but there's a real projector type element going on here, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. Both the second line and the fifth line are both projected energies. It's just the matter of focus. You know, from line two has an inward focus, so it's an energy that reaches from the inward area to the outer. So it's projected to the outside. It's projected to others, and they get attracted and drawn to the hermit, and they come out and say, "Hey, you know, can you share your knowledge with us?" The fifth line, by contrast, is the other way around. It's a projection from the outer environment to the inner environment. So it's, you know, an outward focus to the inside. But yeah, with the hermit energy there, and I like very much the fact that I'm going to borrow from your write up if you don't mind.
Yes.
You did a wonderful job of applying the second line energy to the stages of the role model. So in that first stage, where they're more experiential or experimental, they have that hermit energy that kind of pulls them to be alone, and they still keep getting pulled out. But knowing that in that stage, in the third line stage in this first stage, that second line energy is not only pulling them to be alone, but it's also pulling them to really sit down and investigate. Well, I shouldn't use that term, should I? It's pulling them to be alone and really evaluate what they just went through, that experience. Because remember, the third line is also an inward focus. So now they've got the inward focus of the experience and the inward focus of the hermit pulling at them and saying, well, what have you learned from this? What can you really glean from this experience? What has this experience taught you, and how does it impact you on a personal, deeply personal level? And so this is part of the wisdom that they really generate from their own experiences. Applying that same kind of thing to the second stage, where now the sixth line profile is now up on the roof and observing the experiences of others. Now, they're still taking in a lot of information from that observation, and they're still, you know, developing some wisdom from that. But, again, underneath all of that is still that hermit energy that says, are you watching this? How is this really impacting you? If you were the one down there, how would that make you feel? You know, it's still that hermit energy that has an inward focus that says, well, I may be up here on the roof, but if I were down there and engaging in all that, how would that impact me? And so there's another layer, if you will, to that wisdom that they're developing, so that when they do come down off the roof and they have all of that, that's, again, the projected energy of the hermit is reaching out to others and saying, I've developed a deep wisdom about these kinds of situations, and I can share it with you if you involve me appropriately, if you involve me according to my type and strategy. And that's, I think you've done a very beautiful job of laying the foundation for people to understand how those two aspects of the profile really do work very well together.
And I would just add that that alone time that the hermit needs, it's evaluation and it's integration. It's the hermit needs to be alone to integrate its experience, to integrate its any information or any action that happens to them. They need that time to assimilate that stuff that happened.
Yeah, they're processing all that information, and it's a great deal of information that they're taking in. And so for some people it might take a little longer to process than for others. But that's where that hermit energy comes in. They need that quiet time, if you will, to really fully process things. And when they're ready, that energy, that same energy that forces them to have the quiet time, will force them to quote unquote seek out others, or at least be around others that will then pull them out.
So we're talking about the 6-2 profile. And again, you know, when we talk about these profiles, you can, if you're a 6th line but you're not a 6-2, you might be a 6-3 or you might be a 4-6, but if you have that 6th line or if you have that 2nd line, you can essentially apply what we're talking about to your profile. It's really the sum of the parts. And there will be slightly different flavoring and orientation depending on whether whether the 6 comes first or comes second in your profile. With the 6-2 profile, we're talking about a left angle. You may see that on your chart if you have a chart in a 6-2 profile. We're talking about the left angle. So the lead energy is outwardly focused, at least ultimately, when you reach your coming off the roof stage, and actually on the roof stage, your really lead energy has turned outwardly focused, and your unconscious, your trailing part of your personality, is internally focused. So the 6-2 has an interesting balance there of externally focused, up front, but sort of an inward focus trailing behind, and that inward focus and needing that hermit time. Ricardo, you want to explain just the general difference between the right angle and the left angle to our folks out here?
Oh, wow. I haven't really talked about that in a long time. I'll start by saying the right angle and the left angle both refer to what's called the incarnation cross. In human design, that represents the purpose, the reason why our souls have chosen to come into these bodies at the times that they did, based on the calculations for generating your chart. A right angle cross, incarnation cross, represents personal karma. It's much more the primary focus, as you were just saying, Peter, the primary energy is much more internally focused. And that's generally 1, 2, 3, and there are two profiles that start with the fourth line. One of those is actually contained in the right angle crosses as well. And I believe that's a 4-1, correct?
The 1-4 is right angle. The 4-1 is juxtaposition. It stands alone.
I thought the 4-6 was just juxtaposition.
No. 4-6 is a right angle.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Well, I knew somewhere along the line it was in there. Okay. All right. So 1, 2, and 3. If your profile starts with a 1, 2, or 3, then that's a right angle, and it's much more personal. And they refer to it as personal karma or something like that. The others, the 4, 5, and 6, except for the 4-6, refer to the transpersonal karma, or again, the outer relationships. You know, transpersonal meaning between you and someone else. It's no longer all about you, it's all about how you impact others, how you impact the outer environment, as well as the aspect of how the outer environment impacts you as well. But the primary focus, again, is on your impacting your environment. And that would be considered the left angle. And the juxtaposition cross, I don't know, did you want to say anything about that?
Well, we can. We're going to do an upcoming show on the 1-4 and the 4-1. And the 4-1 kind of stands alone because it is the juxtaposition, and it has a very fixed fate. It's got more of a fixed destiny than the other profiles.
Yeah.
One of the things that you mentioned, which for me was kind of an aha moment when thinking about human design, up until I had been studying human design, I always kind of had this image that a woman gets pregnant, and at some point, typically around 9 months, but you know, sometimes sooner, the baby comes out. And it was just a matter of time, you know, how much time the baby needs to spend in the oven, and you know, when it's done, it comes out. But understanding human design and understanding that there is a genetic link to the gates that you have and to your design, it really made me sort of reverse that or look at the mirror image of that vision, and now see that the baby coming out, the baby being born, was actually being pulled out of the womb by its internal design, that the stars and the planets, when they were moving into the right positions, moving into the energy that harmonizes with the actual genetic design, are actually pulling the infant out And I was wondering about your take on that, Ricardo.
I've never actually thought of it that way. It's very intriguing, and it makes me wonder about a lot of different things, actually. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can apply to that too, in terms of, you know, human design. You know, 70% of the population is some form of generator, whether it be a full generator or a manifesting generator or whatever. But you think in terms of, you know, the strategy for a generator is to respond. And you're absolutely right. When the timing is right, you know, when development has reached a certain point, the baby responds by initiating birth. You know, and the same can be said as, you know, if the baby's being born as a projector, you know, projectors need an invitation. Well, guess what? The invitation comes from life. And life at that point is inviting the baby to be born. You know, and the manifestor, the initiator, you know, medical science has told us that really the timing of birth is dependent on the baby developing and releasing the hormones that signal the mother's body that, okay, it's time to let this one go. And so the baby is initiating and can therefore be a manifestor as well. When you look at it from those perspectives, you realize, you know what? When we follow our type and strategy, it really doesn't matter what type you are. You give yourself the ability to function as all types, as long as you engage in life in accordance with your strategy. As long as you engage in life within the proper flow of your own energy, then your own energy will take you wherever you need to go and help you do whatever you need to do. I myself, as a projector, I need to wait for an invitation for the big things in life. But once I get that invitation, for instance, let's say an invitation to take a job doing a specific thing. Well, if that's an invitation that resonates with me, in other words, if it's a proper invitation for me, then I can respond affirmatively to that. And then I can initiate whatever it is I need to initiate to actually be in that position, to actually take that job and be in that position. And probably the best example I can give of that is I used to be a school teacher. As a projector, I was invited to take a job with a school system. I agreed to the invitation. I became the school teacher, and every year I was a manifestor in that I initiated class. I initiated the curriculum. Well, the curriculum was created for us by the county, but I created the lesson plans around that curriculum and what we were going to do each day. I was the generator responding to what my students were putting out there for me to respond to. So I was able to function and I was functioning as a reflector, taking in my students' energies and knowing whether or not I was actually reaching them. So when you engage in things appropriately with your own type and strategy, you give yourself the ability to react as any type, depending on the situation, knowing all the while, that your specific type and strategy is what dictates, and your responses thereafter will be whatever you need them to be, and the energies will allow you to be that. And so your idea there of the baby being pulled out of the womb and, you know, where it can go, at least where it went in my mind, really seemed to emphasize that fact as well.
And I'm glad you added that, because we do get sometimes caught up talking about type and strategy, and, you know, and that's a common question for people that are new to human design. I've heard a few generators say, I don't want to work. You know, I'm not here to work. I don't want to be here to work. And, you know, and I'm glad you gave that reminder that you can be here to do anything, but you need to follow your strategy for your type to get into that situation. And with the Open Identity Center, we talk about place is so important. But I think really, you know, it's not just for the Open Identity Center. Place is important for everybody. And we get to that place, that opportunity to be a school teacher like Ricardo had, or the invitation, or something to respond to. We get to those places by following our strategy and by living our design down, you know, not just, for me, not just being a generator, but for me, living my gates, living that expression and not living gates that I don't have. One of the big realizations I've had in the last couple of weeks is I don't have opinions in correction. I have blame, so I may blame people sometimes, but I don't have opinions in correction. And, you know, it really, the light bulb went off in my head because I really struggle with spelling and correcting grammar. And I've realized it's because it's not me. And yes, I have to put down, you know, write blog posts in a reasonable manner that people can understand them. But for me to write something and go over and over it to try to perfect it, that wouldn't be me. And, you know, that, so that's something that I can't really do, and I shouldn't really do, because it's not my design.
Right. Although for the last several days we've been in a sun and earth theme that actually bring both of those energies to you.
Yes.
The sun and earth are activating both gate 17 and gate 18, the opinions and the correction. And
so
that'll go on Monday.
So I can do it at times, but I can't do it.
Yes, but for you it would be better to hire somebody that can do that.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I was talking to somebody, and they did have opinions and corrections. And, you know, I said, you know, they said, well, what would be good work for me? And, you know, I said, something where you can give your opinions and correction. You know, any job that they're going to basically ask you for feedback. And if you're in a job where, you know, one of those more corporate jobs where it's, you know, shut up and follow the rules, that's not going to sit well with you. It's yep. just not going to fit your energy. So I want to give a shout out. My friend Angel Amy is in the chat room, and she and her friend Angel Dawn have started a show called Angels on the Air. And so I want to give them a shout out. They had their first show this past week, and their next show is on Wednesday, March 31st at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to hear about angels and hear about angel talk, join Amy and Dawn on Angels on the Air, Wednesday, March 31st at 7 p.m. And we have a chart. We have a 6-2 chart, so if you've joined us late, if you want to go out to my website, loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the right-hand side, click on Peter's blog, and then click on the article that's Profile 6-2 Role Model Hermit, Stepping into the Light or Not, and scroll down to the bottom. We have the chart of Dijon. I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced. I exchanged emails, but I guess Dijon decided not to step out into the light because they haven't called in. But let's take a look at this chart anyway. Ricardo, would you want to take us through a run-through of, you know, just the overall design here that we're looking at?
The overall design, okay. As we mentioned earlier, in human design, there's always a duality, and you can actually see that kind of duality playing out in the body graph. So we're looking at both open centers and defined centers. The open centers are white, and the defined centers are colored in. There are 5 colored in centers. We call those defined, and there are 4 open centers. Just taking a quick rundown, the open centers are energy that we take in from our environment, energy that we take in and amplify from others. And very often it's referred to as the not self energy, because what's colored in your chart represents the true self. That's your energy. It's what you were born into this world with. It's what you carry with you 24/7, 365, your entire life. Unless you've had some sort of near-death experience in your life, that energy won't change. And so looking at this chart, we're going to start with the open centers, and we have an open throat, an open identity, an open will center, and an open solar plexus. Looking at this, the not-self energy, okay, the pressure from the not-self to live out that kind of energy is going to be more of a type of energy that pushes this person to prove his or her own worth and lovability, basically by trying to avoid truth and conflict, and sometimes even engaging in behaviors that are attention-getting behaviors that won't necessarily be appropriate for the situation. That's kind of a not-self look at the world. And that may have been early on in this person's life. As he progressed through his life, he may have actually shifted. Now, remember, this is a 6-2 profile, so he's got that experiential type of energy early on. And then he kind of shifts into that on-the-roof phase where you kind of take a broader inventory and start to realize, you know what, maybe living my life that way didn't necessarily work too well. And so he may have actually shifted into the type of energy presented by his defined centers, which the head and ajna being defined, that's what we call mind, the connection between them there, the 6447. That's an abstract connection. So he's very visually oriented, very image oriented in his thoughts. And bringing those thoughts together with the other aspect of his chart, he's got the root down at the bottom, the spleen and the sacral. And those connections, the root being an adrenalized energy for living and enjoying life and for struggling through life if necessary, the spleen being an intuitive and timing type of energy, as well as a physical response type of energy, and the sacral, of course, being the energy to work and to create life. And the connection between the sacral and the spleen is a very powerful intuition. That 5734 is a very powerful intuition, which when you couple it with the head and ajna, probably means he gets a lot of his internal knowledge, a lot of his intuitive knowledge through some very, very vivid visual imagery. And then the connection between the spleen and the root tends to be, it's that center channel there that's known as the channel of struggle. And basically that means that to enjoy life, you got to kind of struggle with it a little bit. Enjoy the game, but learn when to challenge authority and when to kind of lay off a little bit. And I'm drawing a blank on what I was going to say next. Sorry.
Okay.
You want to take over, Peter?
You were doing well there, and then you ran out of steam, it sounded like.
I know. I just forgot what I was going to say next.
Darn open heads.
I know. I have open head. I mean, I have mind envy now.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm going to talk about here is just a lot of people will ask me, what's human design going to do for me? And, you know, one of the things I talk about is it allows you to, when you look at your design, it allows you to have many strategies. We often talk about the strategy at the type, for the type. So, you know, for Dijon, it's responding. But there's also a lot of strategy that we could take out of this chart. And let me just give you a couple. He has an open solar plexus, which is the emotional center. And so he's here to be wise about emotions, but he's not designed to live out that emotion. So you need to have a strategy in a couple of ways. One, you need to have strategy around protecting yourself from absorbing a lot of emotion. If this person were to work or even just to go into a trauma unit, an emergency room, anybody with an open solar plexus that worked in an environment like that where there was a lot of trauma, a lot of emotion, you know, 24/7, they would need strategy to protect themselves, and that can come through visualization. That can come through wearing crystals. That can come by doing energy work. There's probably other strategies I'm not thinking of. But then even with that protection, you also need to discharge. You're going to absorb some of that energy. And so you would need to be able to discharge that energy. So and so we're talking about the solar plexus here. Another center that this chart, this person needs to have strategy about is the open identity center. We did a show on how place is very important for the open identity. And this is a very open identity. If you look at it, there's no gates off the identity center. There's just, looks like, three gates at the other end. Those are called electromagnetics. So there's three places that they potentially could hook up to have with another person to have identity energy. But very open here, and so place is going to be very important. Again, this is a place of wisdom, but it's also a potential vulnerability, and need to have some strategy here. My wife has an open identity center, and when she goes on a plane or someplace that's very heavily congested with energy of other people, she'll wear a crystal around her neck that literally hangs in front of where the identity center is, you know, right in the middle of her chest. So that gives a couple of strategies, and then you could take a strategy about the head. There's a lot of head energy here. All three gates are full, or all three gates are defined at the top, and they have the channel on the left-hand side. So there's going to be a lot of mental activity going on. And there might be a potential strategy about that. Maybe it might involve sleep. A lot of people that have very defined heads can have problems going to sleep because they can struggle with quieting their mind. So there might be a strategy that's needed to be able to sleep more soundly. Maybe it involves going for a run an hour or so before you go to bed. I don't know what that strategy is, but you can, knowing the design, you can act on it. Anything you want to add to that, Ricardo?
Just that along with those different strategies for living your life, there's actually different strategies. Now, I don't want to make this very confusing to people. There is a particular strategy associated with your specific type. This person's type is a generator. So their strategy is to respond, you know, to wait for things to appear in their outer reality and respond to it. But within human design, all the channels that get defined in your chart carry with them a specific type and strategy as well. And, for instance, the connection between the spleen and the sacral, any channel emanating from the sacral is a generated channel. It's a channel that needs to act in response. It's an energy that needs to act in response to things. And intuition is one of those things. In this case, this person has a very strong, very powerful intuition through that connection, but it's more than likely it's an intuition that's going to occur out of response to the environment, whereas the channel connecting the spleen to the root, there's no sacral energy in that channel. And that makes it much more of a projected energy, you know, like the projector. So the energy in there, even though it's an energy to struggle with things, to come to a realization or an understanding of them, it's much more a projected energy that requires the invitation. There's going to be an invitation to struggle with a situation to acquire a deeper understanding about it. And that's how that type and strategy gets applied to the actual energies within somebody's chart. And I'm thinking now, Peter, that might be another topic for another show, you know, just talking about how people can really, really learn how to work with their own energies just from an aspect of how do these energies play out in life.
Mm-hmm. That is a good idea. So, Ricardo, you were going to have a class this past week, but I know you weren't feeling well. So you, do you have a reschedule for that class?
I do. I'm actually I've gotten a little bit of feedback from people in terms of the difference between Thursday night and Wednesday night. And so I think I may actually offer the classes on both Wednesday nights and Thursday nights and see how that goes. But essentially it's the last week of each month. It's going to be it's going to be offered on a continual basis. It'll be the last Wednesday and Thursday of each month. So for the month of April, it'll be the 28th and the 29th. And basically that's the foundations class, and that's the class that covers all the jargon and terminology that people need to have to be able to understand what's going on in their chart. Now, I'm not going to be doing readings for people during that class. I'm not going to be looking at anybody's individual charts. It's more of an educational look at the body graph and the elements of the body graph, type, strategy, and components of a body graph, so that you can understand what a body graph, you know, what your chart represents, so that when you do have a reading, and if you've already had a reading done, that's fine. This will help solidify for you what your actual energy, what your actual chart shows. If you have not had a reading yet, it's an opportunity to really get the foundational terminology and understandings down so that when you do have your reading, you can actually pay much more attention to what it specifically means to you, as opposed to the generics of, oh, the head center has this kind of energy, the ajna has that kind of energy, rather than try to learn all of that at the same time that you're trying to apply it to your own self. This is your opportunity to really get that foundational understanding before having your reading. And people can sign up for that by going to Rev Rick Readings, RevRickReadings, RevRickReadings.webs.com. And there's a link on the menu there that says Classes and Special Events, and you'll see the class listed there.
Thank you for sharing that, Rick.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. And there, here's just a little demonstration of using your design. Ricardo, as you probably know, is a projector. And so it always works best in our conversations that I invite him to speak about a particular subject, because it goes back to the type and strategy of projectors.
And I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and you're so grateful.
And what else?
We have a question from Amy out on the webcast that she's a 4-6 profile, and she's coming off the roof, or she's come off the roof, and she's asking, does that mean I'm ready to start doing what I'm here to do? And I'll let you take that one, Ricardo.
I would say you were ready to start doing what you're here to do from the moment you were born, because your energies put you in that place. Now, being having a 4-6 profile really just means that your energy is much more an outward focused type of energy. You're here to really connect with a lot of different people on a social level. Your opportunities will come through that, but those opportunities will also bring you opportunities to share the wisdom that you've developed through your life by being a 6-line profile, and share that information with others in a way that's going to bring meaning and value to their lives. I don't know what type you are. I don't know if you're a generator or a projector, but whichever one it is, just remember that your specific strategy is what's going to allow you to get into the right situations in the right way.
And I believe she is a generator. So responding, and, you know, yes, you are really moving into the role model stage now that you've come off the roof and are here to share that. And your radio show is one of the ways that you're doing that. Well, this has been an exciting show. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our hour. So for loveyourhumandesign.com, I'm Peter Rowe. And thank you for being here, Reverend Rick.
Thank you very much.
I hope you all have a great week, and we'll be back here Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern next Saturday. See you then, and enjoy yourselves.